All right, take your Bible, if you will, this morning, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. I don't always preach the expected message on certain days, but I will do a little bit this morning along that line. But at the same time, I want to draw it to you and make an application, all right? I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that what happened on the cross and what happened at that tomb puts a challenge to us today. And so I hope you'll see that this morning. Matthew 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 62. The Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's been taken down off the cross. He's been placed in the grave. And then verse 62, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night, steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read these scriptures, I begin to wonder just a little bit what was going through the mind of these Pharisees and these chief priests that were there who came to Pilate, all right? I really kind of wonder if all of their total concern was that somebody might come back and steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't help but think that maybe in the back of some of their minds was there just a bud maybe of a thought that was growing. What if his body does disappear? Now remember, all right, remember this. Those Pharisees, they were eyewitnesses to a great deal of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now they didn't come as believers. They did not come wanting to hear the truth. They did not even come with an open mind at all. They came with one intent, and that was to find fault with him and to find something wherewith they could condemn him and what he said and get rid of him. Now they've gotten rid of him, but I kind of wonder if maybe in the back of one of their minds or two or three wasn't the thought, boy, wait a minute. This fellow that we've had crucified is the same fellow we've seen reach down and take clay and spit and take that and put it on the eyes of a blind man and have him go wash and come back and he could see. This is the same fellow we heard about. Now, we might not have been there and saw it, but we've heard and we've seen Lazarus. We heard about how he was dead and the Lord shows up 4 days later. They roll the stone away, and he calls Lazarus out of that tomb. Now, those are eyewitnesses. If you're here this morning and you're somewhat skeptical, I want you to remember this. These fellows saw it. They knew. They knew what Jesus could do. They were there when they brought that man to him. And he said, you know, just so you'll believe, I'm going to tell him, take up your bed and walk. They saw that. Now, they didn't accept it. They denied what he had done. They said, oh, you did it by the power of the devil. But maybe some of them were getting just a little bit worried. But whatever the real reason was, they'd come with a request to Pilate. And they said, we want to guard that tomb. Now, I want you to think with me just a little bit. What they were saying is, we're going to put God in the hand of man for man to keep him. We're going to put God in man's hand to keep him. Now, how do you think that's going to work out, all right? I want you to know the answer. Notice the answer Pilate gave to them in verse 65. He said, make it as sure as you can. And I would like to just elaborate a little bit on that thought this morning, okay? Notice what it says. Verse 66, they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, setting a watch. The sepulcher was to be sure. They were to make sure. You said, make sure of what? Well, I think, first of all, they want to make sure the body of Jesus Christ was there. He was there. Make sure he's really dead. Make sure he's really dead. Now you said, what? Yeah, there's a moron called Hugh Schoenfield that back when I was a kid wrote a book and entitled it The Passover Plot. And his whole thesis, his whole book was Jesus didn't die on the cross. He merely swooned. And when they took him down and put him in the tomb, that cool air revived him and he got up. Yeah, obviously he didn't know anything about scourging. Obviously, you know, hey man, I'm telling you the whole thing. Just nutcase, all right? They wanted to make sure he's dead, make sure the body's in there, all right? And you check it out. You make sure there's no hidden entrances. Make sure there's no hidden exits. This is it. You make it sure that he's going to be there. You make sure of which tomb he's in, which one it is, where it is. I want to be absolutely sure. Why? So there'd be no doubts later. Now, if you don't mind me saying so, they're really playing into the hand of all skeptics for all time. Man, what a good thing they're doing. They said, you make it sure. You make sure we got it. So they did. But man, they went beyond that. They said, we're going to seal it. Seal the stone. To put a seal on that thing so for sure, you know, that no escape can be made, and any broken seal would serve as evidence, hey, it's been tampered with. It's been tampered with. I'm not going to ask any of you today to raise your hand on this. Could be embarrassing. But any of you got a letter and steamed it open because you wanted to see what was in there and then resealed it and gave it to the person it really belonged to? None of you would ever do anything like that, I'm sure. But hey, that's why they used to, when they would send, they'd close that letter and they'd drip wax on it, and a person would take their seal and stamp that seal in that wax. Now, you could melt the wax and get it open, but unless you had that exact seal, you had problems. There was a huge problem. Hey, this thing was sealed up tight. Everything they could. They did everything they could. So if anything happened, if there was any tampering, anything went that out of the ordinary took place, they could tell it. Seal good enough that none could enter, none could exit without being detected. We're going to do that. But wait a minute. They didn't stop there. It wasn't enough to make sure of it. It wasn't enough to seal it. We're going on beyond that. We're going to take that next measure. We're going to set a watch. We're going to put people on the job, all right? We're going to put some folks there to watch that thing. We're going to put some people there to keep an eye on it. Here they are all night long. They're going to be on guard. And they're there, he said, until those days are past. Because I guess they figured if he raised on the fourth day, it didn't make it good, all right? So they said, we'll wait. And so they seal that thing up, and then they set the watch. Put people there. People on the lookout. People on the lookout. Yeah, you got to remember now, this is in the city of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about their streetlight system in that day. But you ever been in a place where there's no lights out there? And you get out in that, and us city slickers, and most of us are, We get out in a place like that, and every little noise, people jump. Every little noise, folks will jump at it. Well, they set that watch out there, and they set day after day and night after night, waiting to see if anybody's going to show up. If there's going to be any interference, there's going to be any invaders, you know. We're setting this thing to prevent thieves, to prevent deceivers from getting in and messing up the whole situation, because we know. Now notice what they call Jesus. They say that deceiver. They accused him of being that. So they set it out there. They knew there'd be watchers. So here it is. Here it is. You think about it, would you? They've made it sure. They've sealed it. They've set the watch. They have placed God in the hand of man for keeping. So how did it work? Look in chapter 28, would you? Look in chapter 28, verse 6. Oh, what marvelous words. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Boy, coming up on what we would refer to as that first Easter morning, that first resurrection Sunday, the Bible tells us here in chapter 28 and verse 1 and verse 2, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the sepulcher, and they showed up, and what they found, they endured a little earthquake, and then the angel of the Lord showed up, and he talked to him, and boy, he describes him in verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So much for the watchers. They got shook up, all right? And then that angel said, you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. Hey, they made sure. They sealed it. They set a watch. But that tomb was stripped. Man, anything of value was gone. The only thing left was those grave clothes. By the way, it's not the Shroud of Turin. I'll just throw that in right here, okay? Those grave clothes were left, all right? There they were. That's all that was left. Just that to show that somebody had been there. There had been a body there, but he wasn't there anymore. Why? Because it was God in the hand of man, and God's hands can't keep man. Or excuse me, man's hands. Boy, did I mess that up. I was talking at a music festival on Friday. The kids were there to sing, and before it started, I said, hey, don't worry, you just get up here. You're not singing to impress people. Just do your best, you know, trying to learn to use your talent for God. I said to them, I was joking, all right? I said to them, I said, I've messed up singing. I've messed up playing the piano. But I said, my preaching's been perfect. Until just now, messed it up, all right? No, it hadn't been. Hey, this was God. God in the hand of man. Man couldn't keep God. Okay? Man could not keep God. But could I draw your attention back to that as sure as you can? As Brother Ofdahl prayed this morning, the cross is not a thing of beauty. The cross is a terrible thing, an instrument of torture. But it required the shedding of our Savior's blood. It required his death. It required his blood to be shed. Because as the scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Your sin cannot be forgiven without the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. All right? Can't happen. But I'll say this to you. Had there been no resurrection, you and I would have no hope. No hope. I don't know how many times I have sat in my car and followed a hearse to the cemetery. hundreds of times. I have several notebooks. I keep the notes of every funeral I preach. And I've got several notebooks stuffed with funeral messages. I don't know how many times. And we go there and we bury loved ones. And we stand by knowing that their body's going to be placed in that ground. But we do it as believers, knowing that one day, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there is hope for us to rise from the dead also. I did not go there and watch as they buried my mom and watch as they buried my dad. I did not think, well, I'll never see you again. Never thought that. Never thought that. Instead, it was, Dad, Mom, won't be long. Won't be long, I'll see you again. The day's coming for that resurrection. But wait a minute. How can we know for us? They wanted to make the sepulcher sure. Can I say this to you today? The soul needs to be made sure. The soul needs to be made sure. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. He said, you make it as sure as you can. Now, man's hand could not keep God. I want to say something to you. Man's hand can't even keep man. Man's hand cannot keep man. He said, why do you say that? Because when I talk to people about their soul, people give me these things. Hey, preacher, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, I've joined the church. They say, I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I do good deeds. I try to be a good person. I try to be a good neighbor. Hey, can I say this to you? Everything that's said right there is man's response. That's the hand of man. I can do it with what I can do. I can do it with my abilities. Boy, I want to say something to you. It didn't work at the sepulcher, and it won't work for your soul either. Just won't get the job done. God in the hand of man wasn't a success. Man in his own hand is not going to be a success either. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can we be sure of salvation? How can we be sure of our soul? I'm so glad that the Bible gives us the answer. If you've got your Bible, turn over to 1 John chapter 5. There's some very plain scripture. Folks, I've had people tell me, oh, you can never be sure you're going to heaven until you die. That's not true. That is not true. You can have that firm assurance while you're walking the face of this earth right here, right now. You can be sure of your salvation. You said, why? Because of the witness of God. So what are you getting at? Chapter 5, 1 John, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Can we just go through some of these verses and just look at them? You say, preacher, I'm saved. Go, wait a minute. Maybe there's somebody here that's not. And I'm running into people all the time that cannot give me a scriptural answer for how they know they're going to heaven. Now, they've got an answer, but it's not scriptural. So here's the scriptural deal. The Bible said the witness of God is greater. And you say, what is that witness? He said, I gave you my son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He said, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because, all right, he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. Now, you can sit here this morning and say, I don't believe that. It's a free country. Can't make you believe it. But you've taken that choice. Man, I've got God's word. And you say, how do you know it's God's word? I don't have time to preach that this morning. But there's tremendous reason to know this is the word of God. But I've got this witness from God, and he said, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. If you have eternal life, it's because it was given to you by God. That means you couldn't pull out of your pocket and shell out money and say, I'm by my salvation. You can't do it. You can't put it on a credit card. You can't wait, work and labor for it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, it's not what you can do, it's what he did, what his son did. He sent his son to die on the cross to pay your sin debt, all right? To pay that. He that hath the son, the Bible says, has life. He that hath not the son of God hath not life. And he said, I've written this to you so you could know that you have eternal life. Either you have that son or you don't. You can't be sure of salvation unless you've done what God says to do. Don't trust man. Don't trust man. Take God at his word. When I witness to somebody, I always take the Bible and open it up. And I want to show you through the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. The other night I was at an apartment complex and I had a New Testament. Pulled that little New Testament out and I realized I can't read this. Because it was dim lights and I got old eyes. Now I'm a young man, but I got old eyes, all right? But I took that New Testament and I opened it up and he said, what'd you do? I could find the verse, and I'd say, hey, read that right there, would you? And that fellow would read what the Bible said. I said, I want them to see, it's not what I say, it's what God's Word says. It's this book. Hey, you don't trust yourself to the hand of man. You don't trust yourself to the opinion of man. Well, this preacher over here says I'm okay. Don't trust the preacher. He said, you are a preacher. But when it comes to eternal life, you don't trust what I say. You trust what God says. You trust this book, all right? If I'm not saying to you what God says, don't trust me. Trust him. Trust him. Hey, you can make it sure. You can make it sure. But it goes past that. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, all right? Ephesians chapter 4. Hey, they took the Lord. They told it, you make it as sure as you can. So they did, and they make it sure. And then notice, remember what the Bible said they did? The Bible said they put a seal on the stone. Guess what? God's given us a seal. God's given us a seal. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hey, How do we get sealed? It's the Holy Spirit that does that. It's the Holy Spirit. It's totally the work of God. It's not what man did, all right? But we're sealed in him. Not your work, his work, all right? That seal prevents tampering, if you will. That seal prevents tampering. That seal provides some proof of ownership. I have in my library a lot of books. A lot of books. Years ago, I bought this little rubber stamp, and I started stamping in my books, and it says, Property of C.M. Mosley. I put that stamp in there, all right? Now, it's my book, all right? That didn't do any good. People took them and never returned them anyway. But you don't get them back. So, but hey, it was sealed. Well, God put the seal on us, and the Holy Spirit's that seal. We're sealed. Notice the Bible said we're sealed until the day of redemption. We're sealed until the day of redemption. That's one reason we believe in eternal security. That's one of the reasons we believe in eternal security. So what do you mean by that? I mean that once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you cannot lose that salvation. Why? Because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He seals you there, all right? You're there. You're in. It shows ownership. Hey, I belong to the Savior. I belong to the Lord, not anybody else. And nobody can come in there and break that seal. You can't do it. The devil can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. You say, when's that going to be? When the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds. Hey, that's the day of redemption. We're sealed. What a blessed thing. Hey, man, Pilate, the Pharisees and everybody, or Pilate told them, he said, you make it as sure as you can. Well, they didn't do too good a job, but I'm going to tell you, God does a better job. God does a better job. He can give you surety of salvation. He'll seal you. But then he says something. You ought to help yourself along the way. You ought to set a watch. Look in Hebrews chapter 13, would you? Hebrews chapter 13. Now here, some of you are going to wiggle a little bit here. Now you may not physically wiggle, but you're going to argue with me in your mind, all right? In Hebrews 13, verse 7, the Bible said, remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Hey, you're to remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Hey, you say, what are you talking about? One thing he's talking about is preachers. You said, wait a minute, just a while ago you told me don't trust the preacher. I did. Unless he's giving you this book. If I stand up here and give you my opinion, and I've got opinions just like you do, I don't mind giving them to you, all right? But I'm not going to give them to you from the pulpit. When it comes to this, it's the Word of God. And the Bible said these men have done that for you. They've spoken unto you the Word of God. You said, preacher, where are you going with that? I believe God wants you to help set a watch over yourself. That's why I put the church here. So we can keep ourselves in line. We can keep ourselves in line. Jude verse 21 says we're to keep ourselves in the love of God. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now I realize this whole world's filled with people that said we don't need to go to church. You can go to heaven without being going to church. You can be saved without going to church. And you can do all of that. But you won't be obedient to God. Because he's the one that said you ought to go. I didn't say that. He said it. And it's, by the way, it's in the book of Hebrews, all right? It's in the book of Hebrews. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, all right? We're to be here. Hey, keep yourself in the love of God. Be accountable. Be diligent to prevent doubt from overwhelming you. You know who begins to doubt their salvation? People that get away from God. You get away from God. You get out of the will of God. You get out there doing your own thing. You get away from serving the Lord. You know what? You begin to doubt your salvation. Plenty of people have come back and said, preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I'm gonna have to. And you go through them in the Word of God. Why you doubt it? Because I'm living wrong. Why? Because I didn't set a watch. You with me? Didn't set a watch. Didn't try to help myself a little bit here, you know. You ought to do those things. Hey, he'll make it sure your salvation if you do what he says. He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit of God. You need to set that watch. He said, why? So you won't be stripped. That's why. So you won't be there. He said, what do you mean? I mean standing one day naked before God. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about physically naked in the sense of no clothes, but I mean naked and open to the eyes of God with the realization I messed up big time. Hey, if you stand naked before God at the great white throne judgment, According to the word of God, the only end of that judgment is the lake of fire. The lake of fire. To be there stripped is to be there never having trusted Christ as your Savior. Never having trusted Him. Never putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never calling upon Him and asking Him to forgive you for being a sinner and asking Him to save your soul. Never having done that, that means you'll stand before God one day without God, hopeless, to hear Him say, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me." And why? Well, trusted man. Man said, if I'd do this and do this and do this and do this, I'd be okay. You're not going to be okay. You're not going to be okay. Well, if I'll be sincere in what I believe and I'll carry on in what I believe, I'll be okay. No, you won't. No, you won't. You've got to trust His Son. Hey, remember what we read there in 1 John? He said, you calling God a liar when you say you don't need to trust Him. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to stand before God and say, you're a liar. Too many have trusted too strong in the hand of man. Most of you are old enough to remember Jim Jones in Guyana, where he led a bunch of deluded folks who put their confidence in man, and they died in the jungles of Guyana without hope and without God. Trusted man. That's bad enough, but man, we hear about people today, what was it, several years back when that comet was coming by, these people committed suicide and figured they'd be sucked up in the comet. Man in the hands of man. Oh, listen, don't put yourself in the hand of man, put yourself in the hand of God. Say, Lord, I'm going to believe what you said. I'm going to believe your Son. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to call upon Him. There ought to be a time in your life where you can put the finger on the day in your life and you can say, I remember that day when the Lord saved my soul. I remember that day. I remember where I was. I remember when it was. Remember that day. I don't remember the date myself. I've told people the only dates I cared about when I was a kid was my birthday and Christmas. That's the only dates I worried about. But man, I'm glad I remember the day I got saved. Amen. Remember the day I got saved. Hey, but let me talk to you that have been saved. You don't want to stand stripped at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't want to stand and say, I have nothing to give you, Lord. I've spent my Christian life doing my thing. I've spent my Christian life satisfying me. And all of my works are going to be burned up. I think that'll happen a lot of times. People suffer loss. Why? Well, they never set a watch. You hear me? They didn't set a watch. They took it, I'll do my thing. I'll do my thing. Hey, listen, the Pharisees made it as sure as they could to no avail. Didn't work. Can I say, let God do the work that only He can do? Let Him do that work. He can make you sure for heaven. And I'm going to say this. I believe He can surely make you surely happy on the way. I do not believe you have to live in this life of toil and care and trouble without happiness, without joy. You don't have to live that way. You said, preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. May not, but I'm telling you, you don't have to live that way. You do not have to live that way. If you would decide to do what God said, hey, we live unhappy because we put ourselves in the hand of man. And man will mess it up. Boy, you need to put yourself in the hand of God. Would you do that this morning? Hey, the resurrection did nothing for you if you didn't trust the Savior. If you haven't trusted the Savior, did nothing for you. You're here as individuals, never put your faith in Christ. Would you do it today? Would you have the courage in just a moment as we sing the invitation? I'm going to be standing right down there. Would you have the courage to step out and walk down and say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ"? You say, "Why do I need to do it that way?" So you can let somebody open this book and show you exactly what the Bible says.